Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
That's awesome. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, awesome. That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
Well, good morning to you, Steve.
Well, good morning, Bradford Anderson. How are you today?
God, you know what we should do? What the one market that we're not thinking of is morning talk show, morning news, Stephen Bradford. Sunny day with Stephen Bradford.
Yeah.
Wake up, Miami, with Stephen Bradford.
Wake up now and get your ass in the car and turn us on because we are going to take you to work.
That's right. Oh, man.
I know. Can you, it would be fun, though, because I listen to a lot of local stations here in L.A., and they have their little morning zoos.
Totally,
right?
Dude.
They got. We could probably have one. You always have to have a laugher, though. Do you notice that? There's always, no, I know you are, but we need to work together.
Right.
And then you have to have like the third laugher.
The person that just laughs at all our jokes?
Pretty much.
Yes, I love
There's
that.
One lady I listened to. The guy's funny though, but
right.
She's always like, ha, 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 in the background. He's like, okay, that wasn't funny. You don't need to laugh at everything I say.
But it's like, well, because you can't have a laugh track on morning news.
No.
So you need someone to let the audience know when to laugh.
And it's hard to be funny at 6 a.m.
Ain't it?
Or 5 a.m.
I try awful hard. My kids don't find me funny at all.
Mine don't either.
I know.
When I go, wake up!
Wake up.
No, I'd never
do that.
Yeah,
no, the kids, I never say wake up to the kids. The kids are always, they're coming in earlier and earlier.
What is wrong with these people?
Because summer is confusing to the body.
It is.
Right?
It is.
We have blackout curtains. We're going to get blackout shades now because the blackout curtains
aren't enough.
They aren't enough. It's too much.
And you wear an eye mask.
I do. Can't get the kids and my wife to wear one. I got one of those eye masks that leave the space in front of your eyes so it doesn't feel like something sitting on your eyes.
Yeah, because the cheap ones, dude, I woke up with the worst headache.
Oh, no, it's not
on
good.
A red eye.
Yeah.
And I had red eyes.
Yeah.
Because I had like raccoon patches on my face.
It
hurt. It like hurt my temples and head.
No, this one is awesome. It's like little convex places.
Sure.
Where your eyes
one of
sit,
those.
Where your eyes sit, so there's no pressure on your eyes. It's amazing. But my wife.
I know you always have it when we're traveling.
Oh, dude, it's
even in the van, I see you pull out your little furry diamond eye
it's
mask.
It's not. It's not bedazzled.
I'll
yet.
Bedazzle that.
You will. You will. I know.
Don't
you
let
will.
Me get your You'll hands on. Don't let me get my hands on that.
At least some sequins on it.
I will for sure bedazzle
but
it.
But they're coming in earlier and earlier because it's getting lighter earlier and earlier.
I know.
My wife, I talked to her this morning. I flew in this morning, and she's like, "We're getting blackout shades."
Beautiful.
Yeah,
I love that.
But yeah, no,
I know. Sleep's important, man, especially when you got kids, dude. I don't know. I just don't know how people everywhere. Aren't alcoholics because they have kids.
I know. I got.
I go, honey, don't you feel like drinking? I've been home 3 days with these wild kids. You don't want to.
Wild animals.
You don't want to drink?
Come on.
Drink!
Drink, lady, drink. When we started this podcast, I signed us up in the media realm, like to get guest pitches and stuff. So we get story pitches all the time. And you don't get them because you don't have the email. So
okay, great. What else am I not
And I signed us up for family, like, because I when we started this podcast, I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about, right? So I thought we might talk about family. We might talk about kids.
Sure.
So I get all these, like, stories about, like, how to feed your baby. Like, a lot of those stuff.
Okay.
But then this latest study from this woman about sleep for kids and how school starts too early. And, like, how tests and grading.
I agree with you.
Like, especially for high school kids, that they should start later. And that these kids are overtired. They're not learning. And I just read that this morning.
It's funny because six months ago,
maybe
Jack.
Maybe we should have this woman on our show.
Jack was going to write the principal at a school a letter about this exact thing.
No kidding.
About why do we have to start. They have late start once a week, which is cool.
Do they start at 7 or 8?
Well, they start normally at 8, but then they start at 9.
Oh, wow.
And everyone's a little more fresh.
Oh, well, yeah.
Right? 9 o'clock, you're
totally.
Up. He's like, why can't we start at 9 all the time? I said, write a letter.
I was starting.
Write them.
High school, my high school started at 7:20.
Yeah, it's too early, dude.
I mean.
It's too early.
I mean.
It's not right.
So then we get out at 2, but then you're in.
So here you are starting a day at 6:30 or 7, right?
Yeah. I live right down the
street. You're getting up
right
early.
Down the street, so I'd get up at 6:30 and
most kids
the house.
Don't, though,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
So it's a get on the bus if you're taking the bus. And you have these teenagers whose brains aren't even formed yet.
No. Mine certainly wasn't. I'm still waiting.
It's happening right now.
Yeah.
Look how big your head is.
Look at that. Look at the head on Bradford. The noggin on
what
Bradford.
What happened to him? His brain finally came in.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just really not fair.
No.
I like sleep, man. I'm a sleep advocate.
I dig it.
I love it. Yeah. You got to have it. And, you know.
Yeah.
And the kids don't allow the parents to ever sleep.
No. Yeah. The kids need more sleep. But they starve the parents. Something's wrong with the system. We got to figure it out.
This system is broken.
It's broken.
And we need to figure it out.
It's broken.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But you never figure it out because your kids, I'm going to be, by the time Brooklyn's out, I'll be 80. I'll be ready to take a real dirt nap. I'll be like, I'm going to sleep forever. Good night.
Good night.
That's funny. Dude, I'm just excited about our podcast. I'm always excited about it.
Yes, but today's different.
But we're actually both have a lot of energy today.
Which is good.
This is good. Because I'm not jumping on your back and you're not jumping on mine.
No.
We're actually jumping on each other. That's
which
a weird
is
scene.
Super hot.
But I'm excited today about the podcast. I'm excited about all our guests, but I'm really excited about our guest right now.
Hey, Steve!
Hey, Bradford!
That was a little stop and start, because you know what I didn't do?
You didn't press record
yet?
I didn't
press record yet.
All right.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
No. But what's fun is this next guest, and I'm going to tell you a story.
Please tell me. I love stories, especially when you tell them, because you're such a fantastic storyteller.
Yeah, because we're on the road a lot.
You and I are.
And
yes.
And this guest may not know that or not, because she really doesn't know who we are.
this is a fun one. This is kind of
this is going to be a fun one.
It's like dating in the dark, but different.
Totally. But... So we're on the road a lot, and you know, when we work here, sometimes when new characters come on, you may not see that new character for a month.
Sure.
Right? I mean, you might not see an actor or actress.
Hey, like I haven't I'm only here twice a year, so I might take a little longer.
I haven't seen you for like 6 months. No, I'm kidding. But I was on the road, and the lady goes, and we'll know the character's name in a second, but they go, what do you think about the Willow? About what? And I'm like, what? She goes, first of all, she said the Willow.
The Willow.
I go, is this a tree? Are we talking about a tree on the show? She goes, no, Willow. I go, I don't know. I don't know Willow yet.
I mean, at your age, your probably only reference point is that 1991 movie.
Movie with Val Kilmer.
Yeah, dude.
Yes, Willow.
Willow.
Yeah, I said, no, I don't know Willow yet.
Well.
She's like, yes, you do. You know Willow.
She yelled at
me. She's with Michael. I go, I haven't seen Willow.
Yeah.
Anywhere, ma'am. Don't yell at me.
Please don't yell at me. But now we're going to learn all about her.
We're going to learn all about the young, lovely Caitlin.
McMullen,
who plays
Willow.
Yes.
So this is fun for us. So some people think that we plan a lot and that we're like we have like a professional booker that books guests for us. I'll tell you how we get guests. Steve pokes his head out into the hallway.
Like
goes,
I just did.
Yeah, and it was like, hey, anybody want to be on a podcast? And then, and people are afraid to say no because
well,
it's
I said,
Steve
hey,
Burton.
Will you be, no. I said, well, hey, will you be on a podcast? And she looked at me like, huh? I go, well, did you know we had a podcast? No.
Well, see,
I said, then I had to do the pitch. I go, well, we've been on every week for 52 weeks and we've had 2 million downloads. And blah, 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 blah. She said, okay, just shut up and do it.
Hi,
Caitlin.
Hello.
Yeah. Amazing. Thanks. The amazing Willow.
Thanks for sitting through that nonsense.
Is with us.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining.
Yes. Well, the first thing is, Bradford, you probably haven't seen her on the show, but she's amazing.
Oh.
I have caught clips, and I would agree.
I love when young people come on the show who love to work.
That is
and
something.
And she loves to study and loves to work and loves to be 100% professional. Which is amazing, and I commend you for that.
Thank you.
And you're going to go far places if you keep up that work ethic, girl, because she does it. It's amazing.
In this genre, that's talent is important, but work ethic is also very important.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So tell us.
Thank you.
So now, where are you from originally?
I was born in Santa Clarita.
Oh,
so
wow.
Not too far from here. Yeah.
So Santa Clarita... Is that officially Awesome Town or is that Valencia?
It's Valencia.
So there's. So what is Santa Clarita? Okay,
well,
town.
I think Santa Clarita. Santa Clarita. I honestly refer to Santa Clarita and Valencia as the same thing.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty much the same thing.
Pretty close, right? Which one
I
is Magic Mountain
wrong.
In?
Valencia, I think.
Come on, I don't even know. You grew up there.
I moved when I was like 10, so I don't remember it at all.
You moved to Santa Clarita when you were 10?
No, I moved away from Santa Clarita when I was 10.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
So then where'd you move to?
So we moved around a lot. We moved around in California in general. And then we moved to Florida when I was 11.
Wow.
And then we moved to Arizona when I was 12. And then we moved to Reno when I was like 13. And then I stayed out there from like the age of 13 till I was about 17. Then we moved back to Florida. And then we moved back to Reno, Nevada.
Okay, why?
My dad's job. He like builds up these branches in this company. So they'll be like, come to Florida.
Build it up. Yeah.
And we have like, our family's pretty big. So we're like, we'll just go anywhere. And like,
do you have brothers and sisters?
I have three brothers.
Older?
One older, two younger.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was your favorite place out of all those places? Because it can't be Reno.
Yeah.
But Reno, really? That's the top choice, huh?
I
mean, it's beautiful up there. I've been up there a lot. So.
There were things I liked about every place. I mean, I was really young when I moved to Arizona, so I don't even really remember it that much. I just remember being like, oh my gosh, it's so hot here.
Yeah, that's so hot.
That is a hot place.
Uncomfortably hot. So then Florida was really fun, really interesting.
Where in Florida?
I lived in this place called Altamont Springs, which is right outside of Orlando.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really liked it there. Everyone there was really awesome, but then...
A lot of t-shirt stores?
I don't remember that, probably.
Yeah.
I know it's pretty touristy over
it's
there.
It's amazing what old guys remember. It's like, hey, free t-shirt! We're in Florida doing a bunch, because we drove from Charlotte all the way down to Miami, and we did stops. And he's like, man, there's a lot of t-shirt stores here.
Well, I used to drive...
That's what you noticed.
I grew up in the East Coast, and we used to drive to Florida every... February vacation, and we stayed in just outside of Disney. So, Orlando land, the sprawl that is Orlando. Well, and like Orlando downtown is starting to have some sort of interesting things happening. But Altawada Park? What?
Altamont Springs.
Altamont Springs.
You were close.
Yeah,
very close.
A lot of syllables. Yeah. So. Okay, so now when you're moving around a lot, is it hard to find your things? Like, what got you? Were you always interested in the arts, or?
Well, I did a lot of acting and actually a lot of like modeling when I was younger. Like, I worked for Disney all the time.
When I lived here,
in California.
Oh, okay.
In California, yeah. So. I started at a very young age, and I remember just being like, oh, I'm missing so much school. I want to go to school.
That's great.
So when we moved, I was like, I did a little bit more in Florida because there are agencies out there,
Disney and
stuff, and I still worked for Disney out there. And then when I moved to Reno,
my whole career went down.
It stopped.
Yeah, if you want to work in the entertainment industry in Reno, it's a whole different
ballgame. It's very, very difficult. Yeah. No, but I was like, I just started enjoying going to school and like, because I didn't really get to go to school that much when I was younger.
Sure, yeah.
And
you were working like a lot.
Yeah, I was working quite a bit when I was younger.
Commercials, Disney, print.
Commercials, print, yeah. Stuff like
okay.
that.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But not necessarily like on live.
Disney Channel, yeah.
No, not. I mean, I did some small acting parts, but it was almost like I was on contract with Disney. So every time they had a new like line come out, I was always on set with them.
Cool.
And I remember having so
like apparel
much fun.
Line?
Yeah. Like for the Disney store.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so if there was a new princess dress that was coming out, chances are you were wearing it?
Yes.
That's
I
awesome.
Have like I have a picture in every single princess dress like ever made.
That's now, amazing.
Do you have a cool commemorative like frame or like do your parents have like a wall of Caitlyn princess wall?
My parents used to go to the Disney store and would ask the employees if they could steal the cutouts that they had. Like
the life-size cutouts?
Yes. Yeah, like,
right. Because someday you're going to like move away from home and we'll still have her?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's so creepy. I'd like go in the garage and I'd be like, and it was like a printout, like a cutout of me. And I was like, Mom, get rid of this now.
Okay.
This is so creepy.
I was kind of hoping like they would use them to scare you, like on purpose. Like they decorate them and be like, we're going to get her.
So that's the cutout story's funny and stupid because I bought my wife. You don't even know who this is. George Strait.
The country music.
Country music star. He's older.
Uh-huh.
And and I bought her a cutout of George. He's like 6'2", so it was like actual size.
Yeah.
And I put it in the house for a joke. But then it was like in the guest room, and it would scare the crap out of me. Every time I'd walk up the stairs, they go, oh, man. Oh, it's only George, but it's so weird. It's creepy.
It is really creepy.
Didn't they have those at
No, you can get it. You can get Jason.
Right, like from the website. Didn't they have them in Graceland?
Yes, they had them at Graceland. Yeah,
yeah, that's awesome. Crazy.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Wow,
I'm just going to buy one for my wife.
There you go. There you go. You do leave town a lot.
I'll buy one for your wife, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. She goes, oh. Hold on, she just texted me.
Yeah. Take care.
Oh, I totally strayed from the question, but I played basketball growing up. So anywhere I moved to, I would just like join the team, and I immediately made friends.
Oh, that's a cool thing.
Yeah,
that's a because I was thinking if you grew up in the arts, sometimes when you do, but I guess you probably experience this in basketball too, and you make good friends like that. Whether it's playing on a sports team or playing, you know, doing community theater, whatever it is that you do, I mean, it's hard for kids to move around anyway, right? But depending on what your interests were as a kid, sometimes it makes it even harder. And but basketball, that's cool.
Don't you find it beneficial that you moved around now, kind of looking back?
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Because I moved a lot as a kid.
And oh, really?
Different high schools. I went to 5 different high schools.
No way.
So it was, you know, as tough as it was then, I see it that it's so beneficial now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had to work on your people skills, and
you just you had to adapt,
develop a thick skin, probably,
because you're very young still. But we want to always protect our kids.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm going, you got to be uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah,
you got to do things you don't want to do. Go to a new school and start over and meet friends again, and you know, be ripped out and go do it again. I mean, luckily you had your siblings,
right?
Which was great.
I had my siblings. It definitely is a challenge though. But like you said, the same thing with you. I look back on it and I'm like, I'm so thankful that I did do that and I didn't just stay in Reno because, you know, or just stay in any place.
Sure,
sure.
Because I learned so much everywhere I moved. Yeah.
How would they present it? Like, okay, guys. Or would you expect it? Would you like, all right, we're going to be here for like a year and then we're leaving.
Right when you feel comfortable?
We never expected it. Yeah, right when we're comfortable, they're like, oh no.
Yeah.
Time to go. I guess it kind of would just happen and they're like, okay, how do you guys feel about moving? And we're like,
did you really have a choice?
Yeah, we were like, okay, we're so young.
I mean, did someone get bummed out more than the other person?
I'm trying to think. Well, my younger brother was never, because he wasn't in high school. My youngest brother wasn't in high school, so he didn't really care. But my other younger brother,
he started
Robbie,
making friends.
He was kind of like,
yeah,
this is just going to be hard.
Sure.
But we ended up moving back to Reno, which we had already had so many friends because it's the place we lived.
So that was the last place before back to LA to act.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Sorry, long story.
No, it's fine.
That's what we're here for. This is a long form interview.
Well, it's just great to hear people's journey, you know, and especially you started young. You were doing print, you were doing commercials, but you were bouncing around and then went to Orlando, did some there. And then you went back to Reno. And then what got you here?
Well, because you even said that you were like, you wanted to go to school. You weren't like, okay, I'm doing this print stuff. I can't wait to become a TV star. You were like, no, I want to go to school, be a regular kid. So yeah, what changed?
Well, I think it's that. Well, I started when I was like a baby, so I didn't know anything
different.
Yeah.
So I was like I was doing like gymboree when I was a baby. Like I started super young. So for me, I feel like anything you're given, you're just like, oh, I don't want this. I don't need this. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
You know, it was more like, my parents put me into it because they were told from someone on the street in California somewhere, like, oh, you should get your daughter.
That's a good looking baby.
That's a good looking baby. No, no.
There's so many creepy people.
Yeah, I know. Hey, nice baby.
Hey, get that baby in the films. Okay, weirdo, get out of here. That's awesome. But I know what she means because people walk up all the time, like with Brooklyn.
Totally, yeah.
They're like, oh, my daughter does this. Your daughter should do this do that. And whatever,
right.
And but there you are.
Even in just in regular activities, you're going to come across people that are like, oh, well, we do this, you know, and it's in my daughter's preschool.
Mm-hmm.
We live in Northern California. We live in Sacramento, so we know Reno pretty well.
Okay.
But my youngest, she grew up the first 5 years in L.A. And in her preschool class, you know, two of the kids were working. It's like, gosh, I mean, no matter where you are, every family is touched by the entertainment industry for better or for worse, you know. And
totally.
So. Yeah. But, so what What changed?
I basically started going to college out in Reno.
UNR?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I know a bunch of people from Sacramento.
Wildcats, right?
No, it's the Wolfpack.
Wolfpack. I knew it was
very close.
Yeah, they looked the same.
So I just felt kind of disinterested in what I was learning. I wanted to learn holistic medicine, actually. My major was going to be nutritional science.
Wow.
And yes. I quickly learned that no offense, but I think you have to go to a specialized school to learn that.
No offense to UNR, or no offense to holistic medicine.
No offense to UNR.
Okay, fair enough.
UNR is a great college. It was just that specific major that I started studying for wasn't exactly what I wanted to learn.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I was like kind of feeling like, oh, I either need to like go to a specialized school for this, or I need to just figure out what I want and what I want to do. So I started thinking about what I wanted to do, and the thought came back. I had a friend out here who was acting, and I was like, if I moved out there, can I live with you?
Yeah, can I crash?
And so I ended up doing it. I took a year off and I saved up some money, and I basically started this like random Instagram where I started making videos and stuff, and this agency reached out to me and was like, hey, come meet us. And so then I went to them the first day I moved out, and I started with Alex Fox.
Okay.
He was my very first agent. He's amazing. And it kind of just like went from there. And I lived with Tiffany in a one bedroom. We shared a bed for like a year.
Yeah. What kind of videos were you making? What? Like what stirred you to create?
I was like, I have to start marketing myself if I want to like show that I can be in front of a camera and feel comfortable.
Sure.
So I started just making videos talking about who I am and like just very short videos or like little videos of me like dancing or something like to a song in the car and like fun stuff.
Right. Look at me. I'm fun. Kind of
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking back, I'm like,
no, but like
interesting.
But I think that on social media, the stuff that people connect to are either people that they're like, I like their spirit. I would love to be friends with them.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Good for you. And obviously it worked. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it worked out for the best because through Alex, he's my dear friend who is struggling with cancer now. I don't know. People might have seen it on my Instagram. He's like amazing. But anyways, started with him and he just took such good care of me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's great. So you started auditioning for stuff?
Yeah, I started auditioning. He got me in like theatrical auditions as a commercial agent.
Great.
And I booked my first theatrical job with him, and then he introduced me to my manager, who then introduced me to a new agent, and then it kind of just went from there. And then I started focusing more on theatrical stuff because I came back with the knowledge of like when I was younger, and I was like, oh, I just want to do like commercials and print and stuff. And I quickly realized that I was like, no, I actually want to start acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's way more interesting. I took an improv class and I was like, maybe this is what I want to do instead.
That's cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, sometimes, you know, talking about what you did in college, sometimes that's what college is for, is to tell you what you don't want.
Totally.
Right? You know?
Yeah.
So that's great that you were open-minded enough to accept that. Some people are like, oh no, I came here to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I got to stick with it.
And to do it. What did your parents, were they like, yeah, go for it?
They were very supportive.
Great.
I was surprised. I like came home one day and I was like, I'm going to tell them that I want to move to LA and they're probably not going to be happy. And they were actually really, really supportive.
Wow.
Are they still in Nevada?
They were. They actually just moved out to Santa Clarita.
No kidding.
Full circle.
That's amazing.
Yeah, full circle, like 8 months ago.
Wow.
Well,
they're back.
That must be nice to have everybody back, right? That's wonderful.
Two of my brothers are still in Reno, but my youngest brother and my parents are in Santa Clarita now.
Nice.
Yeah, because they grew up there. They were born there. So that's like their hometown.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like,
amazing.
Did they help settle it? I mean, because it's not that new.
It's not that old.
Right. I don't think I've ever met someone that's
born
old,
and raised in Santa Clarita.
They always tell me about the onion fields. They're like, when we lived out here, it was just all onion fields. So.
Right. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. They had to go to the water well and pump.
Yeah.
Yeah, milk their own
cow. They came out to strike gold. They came out from the East Coast.
They made it.
It took them 2 years in a wagon, covered wagon. They lost a few aunts and uncles, but they made it.
But look, they built Six Flags.
And they,
they built Six Flags, yes.
And grew on
they came
you.
Out to build the railroad.
The roller coaster?
The roller coaster.
Oh, yeah. Did I not mention that?
That's amazing.
So at what point, so you decided to make this career change or course of life,
mm-hmm.
and you said took an improv class, and now you've been here for how long?
8 months.
8 months. Yeah. So that's a long stretch. So
I know, time flies. I feel like I just started.
Eight months.
So weird.
It's amazing.
But you're kind of new to the craft, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So from when you decided, okay, I'm going to be an actress, to now, have you learned a lot about yourself? Have you learned to, where do you pull from for your work? Do you know what I mean?
Like, Yeah. It's definitely made me, I mean, like I said, I started with improv, but then I started going to this school called Playhouse West. I don't know if you guys have
ever
heard of it.
Okay, sure, yeah.
And under their instruction, I've just learned to kind of, he said, like, in order to act, you have to know yourself. Like, you have to know who you are. You need to know. So you're always pulling from yourself. So it's been a journey of, like, definitely getting to know myself better in order to do this.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It has to be personal to you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good, whoever told you that, that's great.
Yes.
Yeah. Personalizing it is a priority when you're doing this stuff. I mean, when Maurice helped me, he took me under his wing when I first got here, and everything he does is personalized.
Yeah.
Every line.
Wow.
Is like personalized with mom, dad,
he's substituting
Paula, whatever. You'll see, I would see little words by every speech.
Wow.
And he'd be talking about someone or something every time, which was
right.
really interesting to me.
Yeah, it is interesting.
I was able to pick up some of that, but I didn't need to do it as deep, because he's super method, so I didn't need to do it as much as he did.
Right.
But it sure made the stuff that didn't make sense
make more sense.
Better.
He's amazing. He actually helped me on that scene that aired yesterday. So the one where I had to like kind of relive the
Dawn of
Shiloh
Day stuff.
Trauma and the Dawn of Day trauma. He basically like took me under his wing into the green room, and he was like, I want to help you on this. I know you're probably really intimidated because it was kind of a lot of dialogue.
Sure,
I was around a lot of actors that I like look up to, and I was very intimidated being new and having all this material and wanting to, you know, do it justice.
Sure.
And so he was talking about, you know, he kind of like walked me through it and helped me personalize it and helped me like.
It's great.
He gave me the room like to have my own personal experience. He like made a very safe space. So I love Maurice.
Yeah. He does that. He's done that for a lot of people. It's amazing. He still does it.
Yeah.
Too.
I know. So. I was like, he didn't have to do that. He was like, do you want help? I was like, from me, yes. Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's great.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by FabFitFun, a seasonal subscription box with full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products.
These boxes are a guaranteed pick-me-up every season. It's like having your birthday four times a year.
I mean, that sounds pretty great. Just need some cake.
That's right.
And each box contains amazing products from high-quality brands like Trina Turk, Tarte, Free People, and more. And you know, some of the items are customizable, so you can truly create your perfect box. Or, I mean, you could just be surprised every time, too.
And it retails for $49.99, but always has a value over $200.
Crazy.
Always.
Town. Crazy town.
Yes.
So check out FabFitFun.com and use the code AWESOME10, AWESOME10, so you can save $10 off your first box, making that first box only $39.99. And these boxes always sell out, so don't wait around.
FabFitFun.com, use the code AWESOME10. Come on, you know you want to order it. Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. It's easy, completely legal, and yes, you can watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free.
Watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up.
Yeah, and you can download Pluto TV on all your favorite devices, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream.
So what are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV.
So you're kind of, did you do a lot of episodic, or did you do?
Not really.
So you're just like, this is your first really jumping in. Hey, I'm on TV.
Yeah.
Hey.
What was your audition experience like?
Oh, wow. It was I got the sides and I immediately like connected to it. Like I was like, for whatever reason, you know, I just really wanted to do it justice and I really wanted to like kind of just have, I spent like 4 days in my room, like in the dark, like having this whole thing going on. Cause it was like fun for me. I was like, sure. I want to have this like artistic experience, you know?
What was the subject matter of the scenes?
It was basically saying goodbye to somebody.
Okay.
But kind of in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
And it was just really interesting. It had a lot of layers. It was very complex. And I was like, I want to understand this material and like bring my own thing to it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even expecting, like, I wasn't even like, oh, I want to book this job. You know what I mean? Like, I was sure. like, I just want to, like, have the best audition ever.
Yeah.
And so I did
That's a great way to come at things. Because then you're not, like, you can just be satisfied with your experience and not have your hopes
expectations
pinned
right.
on whether you get the job. It can right. still be a forwarding experience, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
It was, like, the first time I ever, like, got, I felt like I was in character, not in sense of like in character, but like in that circumstance so deeply that even in the waiting room, I was just like traumatized. And it was
that's
really
great.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's really great.
It was really, really fun.
Yeah,
and
we love pain.
We love pain.
Yeah.
It was fun in a really messed up way.
Yeah, exactly.
But that just goes to show you the work ethic I was talking about.
Yeah.
For her. I mean, to do something like that for 4 days and live with it.
Yeah.
You know, you're better than the next person because they didn't live with it for 4 days.
They didn't do the work, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's awesome that you did that.
Well, thanks. But Mark was awesome. He's, I mean, you guys know, he's a great reader.
Amazing.
He's so, he's so supportive too and kind and great reader. And so with the first audition, he was like, okay, I'm bringing you back for producers tomorrow. And I was like, what?
Yeah,
because I was like so not expecting that. And so then the second audition was with Frank and the other producers and Mark. And it was a different, no, actually, I think it was the same material. So we did it again. Mm. Then it was a screen test.
With who?
With Chad.
Chad. Our good friend.
Chad.
Chad Michael Duell.
Yep.
Chad Duell.
Yep.
That's
and I actually
amazing.
Tested with Sophia, who's now on the show.
Oh, yeah.
So her and I tested for the same role.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then it was... there was a second screen test, and I think it was me, Sophia, and two...
Jeez, they put you through the ringer, huh?
Yeah.
Man.
And two other girls. I don't know if they were at the first screen test, so it was two different girls. And then when I found out I got out, I was just like, what? Oh, my gosh.
When did you find out? When you went after you got out of here?
I think it was like 2 days later.
Wow, two days in this
case.
It was very, very fast. I remember getting a call from my manager, and I just saw his like contact, and I was like,
this is it or...
Oh, no.
This is good or bad,
right? I know.
And he's like such a jokester, so when I answered, he was like, hey.
Oh.
I was like, it's okay. And he was like, no, it's fine. You got the job. And I was like, what? You're so mean. Yeah.
I had this old school commercial agent who's been around since dirt.
Yeah.
And
since they found a Santa Clarita.
She rose from the dirt there. But she was old school, right? Yeah. So her thing was that when you got a job, it's so sick that she would ring a bell like Pavlov, like a dog. Like, so anytime I saw her number, the first thing I would listen for is the ringing bell.
That's so right.
I'd go, hello. And if I heard ding, 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 I'm like, yeah. But I didn't. I go, oh, man, this sucks.
But that's cool. It takes away. She doesn't have to say the words.
Yeah, it's probably that she just doesn't want to say those
words,
too. Yeah,
she's just like, eh. She booked so many. I mean, she was a huge commercial.
Did she have, like, a buzzer in case you didn't get the job?
No.
Would that be funny, though? Like,
hello. Or, like, you're immediately ejected from whatever seat you're in.
Yeah.
Loser! You didn't book another job, you loser.
And so how soon after you found out did you start? Was it like right away?
I think it was like a month to 2 months.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
You had some time to think.
Yeah.
Wow, so they really had this planned out.
Yeah.
Well, because also sometimes after a test, you get called the same day. Like.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Usually, by the time you get home, you usually know.
Oh, I see.
You get the job. Okay. So when you go, it was only 2 days. I'm like, two days? I'd have been drinking for 2 days. Because I'm like, where's the call?
Yeah.
I know. I was pretty like. Yeah. At that point, I was like, you know what? I'm so lucky to have even, like, gotten to that spot. So I'm just going to let it go and, like, just be happy that it happened. And then,
sure.
Of course, you're kind of like, but am I going to get a call?
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about Mark, and as Sophia has learned, if you do good work and you make an impression, they'll find something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Because she came in to do something how soon later? How soon after?
Oh, I can't tell you, though, how much that happens.
It happens all the time.
Like, second person that they like in the screen test comes on later, usually, or
well,
third person.
Well, I mean, you know, we've talked to so many people that, and I'd say at least a handful of people that's happened to that we've talked to over the last year. You know? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Paulina tested with Brianna.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And now, so they tested for the role of Jordan.
Sure.
And now Paulina has taken the role of Valerie. So something came up and they were
right.
like, you were
exactly.
great.
Yeah.
Nice.
Exactly, you know? Right.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So 8 months and you got thrown into the fire. Who'd you first start working with?
Oh my gosh. Who was it with?
Oh, it's pretty forgettable,
scene.
So it's okay.
Yeah, right.
If it was Chad, I understand.
I think it might have been.
Poor Chad.
No. It was either Josh or Chad. It was one of the
it's
two.
It's the same. It's the same person. They just have different wigs.
It might have been Josh.
It's okay. You don't have to remember. We just said earlier, you can just Google it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Who was my first Willow scene with?
Yeah.
It'll pop up.
Anything in your
Chad's
life.
Chad's face.
Chad. I just saw him in the bathroom. It was so nice.
Okay, thanks.
Chad.
That's too much information. Thank
no,
you.
No, I mean, you know, it's funny.
It's a nice meeting place.
Well, the bathrooms here, they're in the center of the dressing rooms and like they're doors to both from both sides. So there's just a lot of crossing paths in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And it is a little bit of a strange place to like, but it ends up being the place that you like.
Wash
exchange,
your hands.
Well, that, hopefully, that you exchange pleasantries with people that you haven't, because otherwise everyone,
that's
exactly,
awkward.
Because everyone's either in their dressing room or in makeup or in the bathroom. So
that's true.
You're not going to run into them in your dressing room.
No.
So I've run into Michael Easton a lot in the bathroom, and that's pretty exciting.
Well, we'll save all your bathroom stories for another episode, okay? So that's, you're done.
Okay.
Okay. So back to Caitlin.
Speaking of cool things to put on Instagram.
Yeah, no.
Bradford's bathroom stories.
No. No, you'll get Definitely. The wrong people calling. So you came in. Did you, your first day, do you remember if you had a lot of dialogue or not? Because they like to do that to people.
I think.
They just like to say, hey, here's 20 pages. Good luck.
I think it was like anywhere between 16 and 20.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, perfect. And here's the thing is like, now you can't spend 4 days on it. You don't have the luxury generally, right?
That's what I try. I like try to at least have 4 days to like let it sink in. Because
wow.
you know, sometimes I just want to memorize it 4 days in advance so that I sleep on it three nights
right.
and it's just in there.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, I get a day.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm kind of sweating a little bit because I'm like, I wish I want to have that time with
sure.
the material. But sometimes you can't.
Right.
I try though.
But do you find... I mean, are you still nervous every time you go up to set, or how comfortable are you now?
It's been like a slow decline.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was at first. I was like super nervous.
Yeah.
Definitely, but now I feel pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in now.
Good, because we're moving.
Yeah. Right.
Don't get too comfortable, lady.
Wait, what?
No, I said we're moving. Like your parents, you're comfortable.
Yeah. Oh.
What I tell, but I tell, it's good to be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
It's good to be a little uncomfortable still up there.
Yeah.
Because when you get super, you want to be comfortable enough where you can do work that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do because you're fighting fear, anxiety,
right.
or nervousness, whatever it is.
Right.
But, you know, to keep working hard is obviously super important. No matter how comfortable you get, because it's only going to make your work that much better.
Right.
Because when you're up there and on a set that you feel like is your set, like the classroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a teacher on the show. I see the classroom a lot. Like, I would try to spend all my extra time on the set that I was in.
That's so smart.
You know what I mean?
I thought about
just
doing
to
that.
Be super comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And just like, hey, I'm comfortable anywhere I go in here. I'm comfortable. You know,
because this is my space.
It's your space. It's your classroom.
Right.
You're in there 250 days a year as a teacher.
Right.
You know, and it's whether people can see it or not. I just feel like it's a comforting thing.
Sure.
For you to be able to, hey, I don't have any walls up in here. I'm comfortable. This is my space.
Right.
Right? You're not supposed to be comfortable in every set you go to because it's not your set.
Right.
You're not going to be.
Like if you're in the interrogation room.
Yeah, you're not emotionally available in the interrogation room because you're in an interrogation room.
Right.
But like, you know, my penthouse that I used to have, I was so free
Yeah.
There emotionally in Sonny's place. Just so like, it was just like being in my own house.
Right.
Comfortable, you know?
So, yeah.
But it's good that you're, you know, obviously it's, you're thrown in the fire here fast. You got lines of memorized. Look at all these cameras, all these people, and we move so fast.
Yeah.
But it's a great boot camp.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great training ground.
Yes.
And you're going to be amazing because the emotional stuff that you have to do here, you'll probably rarely do outside as much and as often.
Yeah.
And for you to be able to connect to it now as a young actress only will save you and make you so much better out there. It's going to be amazing to watch. And I'm not saying you're leaving, but you're so talented that you should at some point when you're young and not be old like me.
Well, I'm sure as our schedule gets more open, everyone will have more opportunities for different experiences.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, 18, 19 weeks off a year, she can go do some other stuff, but it's just so cool to see.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And there's something about not getting too comfortable because I love when I stopped getting that little boost of adrenaline when I'd go up to stage, it became a little harder.
Interesting.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, because that's a source of energy. So you're like, if I have this adrenaline, I can actually channel it into
totally
this type, like whatever
emotion
I'm probably experiencing in this scene.
Yeah. That's what I mean. That's what I loved. I came from the stage and no matter how, no matter how comfortable and used to you get when you come out in front of a live audience, there's adrenaline.
Yeah.
And that would always be a source of energy, as you said. And so when I'm not nervous, things tend to go
well. Well, that's interesting because you're programmed that way.
Yeah.
I think it might be a lot mental.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Because when we do our shows on the road, there's no doubt that, you know, day seven, we're like, oh gosh, how are we going to do it?
But then the
audience, 400 people there, you're like, oh my gosh, this is like you ride the wave.
When you have some muscle memory, your body knows it has to get up.
Right.
There.
So maybe some of it's just you're used to being having that nervous or that anxiety to propel you.
But here, if you've, you know, like that's one of the things that about this, you know, this kind of work being on a soap for however many years you end up being on it is that sometimes when you're so comfortable, you're not, when you go up to stage and you might have a lot to, sometimes you get, you're like, hey, I have this material. I know I want to do it well. So you put that kind of pressure on yourself. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's easy just to be like, oh, I don't have to do a lot. I'll just go up there and do it. And that's when you're like, oh, I'm not enjoying this as much as I used to, and I'm not doing as good of a job as I used to. And so it's always good to be remain conscious of that because it is a bit of a trap that can happen here because you're just doing so much material over so many years, and you don't have to prepare for 4 days anymore because you got it. And sometimes that's exciting because you can go up there, and it can almost feel a little live. You have to be really good at listening. That's fun, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's always best to come in well-prepared.
Yeah. I was at this film festival last weekend, and there was this girl who used to go to my school, and she's in this new film called Bodied. It was produced by Eminem. It's about, like, rap battles and stuff. It was really, really intense. It was crazy. But we loved it because we got to see one of our fellow students in a film.
Yeah.
And it was really, really fun. But she was talking during her Q&A, she was talking about finding a way to become obsessed with the work. Like anything you get, just like find a reason to be obsessed with it because then you'll put so much energy into it, put so much time into it, and you'll be so invested.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, I'm sure like doing it a lot over a long period of time can get a little, you know, like, oh, I've been doing this so much, you know?
Right.
But for me so far, it's been easy to kind of just be like obsessed.
Good.
Because,
that's awesome.
You know?
Totally. And and just grateful. You know, I mean, that's the thing. I'm grateful to still come to work this morning. I'm like, man, I'm going to work. This is amazing.
I'm going to see Bradford. It's going to be a great day.
Not that part. But, you know.
Well, I've heard great things about you outside of work, too. You know, like you're a very, very humble, kind person. And I know that you're very grateful because you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I've heard some things.
Well, but I do. I really appreciate having a job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
I've been away from here, and you know, it's like, oh, man, I don't have that place to go to every day.
Yeah.
That you I don't want to say you take it for granted, but it's like
any
job. You're here for that long. You're like, oh, it's going to be there. And then one day you're like, oh, it's not there.
It's not there.
Right.
You know, but it's just a funny business, and you're doing an amazing job.
Oh, thank you.
You're having fun, I hope.
I am having fun.
You know, Chad and Josh are, you know, two Labrador retrievers, and I know you're trying to wrangle them half the time. I see it.
Are you in like a triangle with them of sorts?
Sort of. I don't know if it's a triangle yet, but it's like they're definitely in my orbit, and I'm in their orbit.
Yeah, it's funny, dude. I'm like watching these guys. I'm like,
oh, I mean, I'm dating. Willow's dating Chase. So
okay.
Willow and Chase are dating.
Yeah,
right. And Michael's like,
do you remember I told you I saw it was the New Year's Eve? We did the New Year's Eve at Metro Court, and Caitlin was working. I go, I'm sure you didn't know you were going to be working with Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, sure, right,
right. And Chad goes, I'm dumb. And Josh was still like, huh? What am I doing here? It's so fun. We got to give them a hard time.
Oh, I love it.
Because they're young guys on the show. And they're fun.
You guys it's great. Prank each other sometimes.
I know.
Chad. It's pretty funny.
Well, Chad, I've been, you know, Chad, he was really thrown into the fire when he came here.
Really?
Yes. So Chad and I have a history of, I was like, it's okay. We're going to just do this. We're going to, you're going to get through it. You got the job already. And it was, you know, 20, 30 pages on the witness stand. He was like thrown right in the middle of a trial, and he was literally throwing up backstage. He had so much anxiety.
Oh my!
Like it was
gosh.
So difficult because they're like, "Here you go, good luck." You know, he's like, "I'll never do this." I said, "We're gonna run this. We're gonna run this thing 500 times, until you can kind of do it."
Right.
You know, and he ended up getting through that first week.
Yeah.
And once you got through that, then he's like, "Okay, I can do it now.
Now I can do this."
You know. So right. It's just I love Chad.
Yeah, Chad's great.
Chad's so funny.
But what people think, they don't know. People don't know how funny Chad is.
No, they don't.
Unless they listen to our episode of the Wizarding World podcast. Of Chad.
Yeah.
I think I told one of the magazines this. I was like, sometimes when I work with him, he makes me laugh so hard that he'll do these. Well, it'd be in the middle of a serious scene. And I have to be fighting my impulses to laugh because he's so funny.
I know.
And it just like gets me.
It's funny because he's so, he almost has a little bit of like Will Ferrell in him. Because he keeps a straight face, but he's doing these ridiculous things. But he
has to fight. People don't understand. He has to fight so much to play Michael.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's so not like that.
Right.
That. He's like, I always say he's like, you're too young, but Three's Company. He's like John Ritter.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So he's just goofy and falling down and just being himself. And that's who he is.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, dude, you got to go like chase that.
Yeah.
You're that guy.
Yeah.
Go to him. He's going to take an improv class.
Oh,
now,
great.
Comedy. So
fun.
I'm like, dude, you got to go do it, man.
Yeah. He's got great timing. It comes pretty natural to him. And in his just natural state, especially for like single camera comedy, you know, I'm sure he'd be great in a sitcom too, but a lot of like the single camera comedies that are being made, he would be so interesting. He's just interesting to watch, even in a small lens.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, well, enough about him. So on the show right now, what's going on? We got Dawn of Day starting to come out. Don't give any spoilers because we don't know where we're going to put this in the scheme of the podcast, but. So we're just what's airing right now? What aired? What show aired that you were talking about?
It was where I went to Sunny's safe house and talked to Christina.
Okay, great. Yeah. So that's where we are air-wise.
Yes.
Okay. So Christina's kind of on her way out of Dawn of Day.
So you were sharing your story with her to help warn her, is that correct?
Yeah,
she was in Dawn of Day.
I was in the same cult as her.
Correct.
Right.
And so I basically came there to share my own experience. I mean, partly because Willow and Michael are so close and I knew that his sister was struggling with this, but also any woman that was in the same exact position that I was in or that Willow was in, you know, I'm just going to try.
Of course.
To show her what's really going on.
Right.
Good. Somebody has to.
Yeah.
Because the Dawn of Dead has gone on too long.
I mean,
the Dawn of the Dead.
Let's get him.
It never dies.
Let's go get him.
I know.
Yeah.
It's good because we had a scene, one of our, for the first time, that hasn't aired yet, but we worked together last week.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that cuts together on my part because I changed lines. They're like, don't change the lines.
Oh, Stevie B. Breaking the rules.
Well, I broke the rule. I don't really break the rules, but I thought I was helping and I wasn't. And they're like, no thanks. No, shut up and just say it's written. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, thanks. Fine, whatever. So,
no thanks. Yeah.
So, that's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, I was super stoked to have a scene with you.
Oh, thanks. But you're doing an amazing job. It's so
you.
Great to see, again, just young actors and actresses come in here and really want to work and learn. And,
well, and that's a big, you know.
It's huge.
We, on our show, there's always generations a little bit, right? So, mm-hmm. Like, your generation, you and Maurice.
We discovered electricity.
It's true. but you guys are still, that generation has aged, let's say it, but is still front burner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know. And there have been youth, more, you know, youthful generations coming in, like the Maxi, Lulu,
yes.
that kind of generation.
Yes.
But they're all parents now.
Yes.
So there's there is another generation, and it seems pretty strong.
It is
and that's
very
good,
strong,
and that's good for the show.
Yeah, because we need a younger generation to come so we can hand it off. Like the forefathers before us.
Dude, you're so tight-fisted. You and Maurice are not handing anything off anytime
soon. I will not be.
Yeah.
I will die on set.
Yeah. yeah.
Hopefully not
Love
in
it.
An accident, but of old age. but it's true, though. It's great to have a young generation come up who are great actors and actresses and want to work and carry on the torch.
Because, you know, there's so much programming out there, and, you know, it takes everything that we can do to tell good stories and also mm-hmm. to attract more audience members. And that's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
Right.
And the more diverse your cast is, the of age and of every way, the better that can be. And so we want to tell,
cool.
and it enables you to tell more stories too. Like, if,
right.
you know, the different ages, it can help. You
People
know,
can
so.
Relate to,
totally.
You know.
Absolutely.
You need to be able to relate to your entire audience.
Right.
Yeah. And I think we're in a good spot to do
we
that,
are.
I hope. Yeah.
So where can people find you on social and Instagram or Twitter?
My Instagram handle is Caitlin_MacMullen.
Okay. Are you still doing crazy videos?
No, I'm not. No.
No.
No, I deleted that account. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this.
Oh, that's so funny.
I think they were just like, this girl's so goofy that we could just send her into a commercial. Anyways.
That's great. It's amazing that they found you that way. But trust me, Bradford's going to be doing weird bathroom videos right after this. So that's Insta?
That's Insta. I don't have Twitter yet. Jason really wants me to get a Twitter. I was thinking about it. I'm really considering
it. It's a slippery slope.
But I don't know.
Yeah. It's a slippery slope.
I don't know if I
should
get Twitter.
Oh, that Twitter is an amazing place.
No, we love it and hate it. It's awesome. Well, Caitlin, this was such a delight to get to
thank
know
you. Thank
you
so much for having me.
Thank you so much. It's so awesome to sit down and get to talk to you.
Yeah,
so,
thanks for having me.
You're doing great work.
This
and
fun.
Keep it up.
We'll be seeing
thank
you for
you.
Sure.
And we'll be praying for you working with Josh and Chad.
There you go.
Well, how nice was that? Like, I don't know if I'd ever been in the same room with her.
That was a great, I mean, it was great because she just got off stage. And of course, I'm there at the bottom of the stairs going, hey, will you be on our podcast?
Creeper, creeper.
She's like, what podcast?
Stranger Danger.
Stranger Danger. That's right.
Hey, new girl, come into my dressing room.
Yeah. Weird, right? But she said yes. She's always been so nice. And it was just great to kind of hear her story too. So,
yeah. No, cool. It's amazing how people come to our show from so many different places and backgrounds and, you know, a lot of us came from modeling, which is, you know, we really had that.
A lot
common.
Of you?
Yeah. A lot of us.
A lot of not you?
I modeled turtlenecks for a while.
Did you?
I was a turtleneck model. Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
No wonder that lady thought you looked like a turtle. Where were we? Where were we?
It was in Grand Rat.
Yeah. What was the thing? Someone said. What was the...
Spinelli's an ugly toad. No.
Oh, yes, there
He's
it is.
He's not an ugly toad. He looks like a turtle.
Yeah, that was amazing. She goes, because for our mean tweets, Spinelli is an ugly toad. She goes, no, he's not. He looks like a turtle. And I'm like, ma'am, that is not a compliment. If you want to compliment somebody, you do not say they look like a turtle.
That was... I appreciated that. I think I'd rather be a turtle than a toad. So
well, maybe if she would have been like, oh, he's like a jaguar.
Well, at least I know I'll never be homeless because I got Michelle. And that's cool. As an actor, you got to look out for that.
And you have friends. So.
Yeah. And I've always wanted a motorhome. Like I'm
well,
trying to
get three other Ninja Turtles too. You can call.
That's true. You're right. But I've been trying to convince my wife that we should get, you know, like we should vacation in a rig.
It will never happen.
No, I don't think it will. But as a turtle carries. Too. Oh, should we just get one and then see if they come with us?
They won't.
Then we'll just be on the road for a month doing
with no shows, just hanging out.
With no shows, yeah, sure. Yeah. That'll go over really well.
Really well, totally,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, but I want to say thanks to Caitlin. So thanks, Caitlin.
Thank you, Caitlin. I could have just run into her hallway and be like, hey, what's your name? And instead, we sat down with her for an hour and learned her whole life story.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's better. Yeah.
Much better.
Much better. She's doing a great job. That's a crazy storyline, and she's doing great. So we have a question from Lindsay in Pittsburgh. She asks,
what was it like becoming a father on TV, on screen, both of you? Like, were you excited about that storyline, or especially like Steve, who had been a character for a long time and not been a parent? Did you think it was like the next step, or were you like, great, not to deal with a baby on set? And also, what was it like becoming a parent while working on General Hospital and juggling that? What was that experience like?
Well, thank you so much for your question, Lindsay.
Yes,
and
Lindsay,
gosh, you know, I mean, you came on the show when you're how old?
21.
21. And I was 26. Neither of us had kids. Neither of us were married.
No.
So the amount of time that has transpired in the time that we've been on the show is a lifetime of sorts, right?
Yes, it is a lifetime. Yeah. So wait, did you kind of like kids? I mean, did you like, some people like babies and some people don't like babies.
Sure.
Right.
I didn't have any that I was particularly close to, cause I don't have any nieces.
Right.
I didn't have any nieces or nephews.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like I had no child that was in my life that I felt so close to that, like I might have to take care of it someday or anything like that. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Sure.
Did you have, what came first in your life? Pretend kids or real kids?
Pretend kids.
Pretend kids came first.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretend kids. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was that? What was that?
I don't know, man. It you know, cause you always hear, oh, you don't want to work with kids or dogs. Right.
Right.
That's what you always hear.
Right.
From TV. But, you know, as babies, it's cool. I mean, cause they don't do much as the baby, right? It's almost like being a real parent. Like, the baby, like 0 to 6 months is awesome because they're just basically in the car seat or you're holding them.
Except if you're, sometimes they have you delivering monologues to a baby.
Well, that was okay because it wasn't moving, right? It's when they can start moving where the problem is.
Well, but they can still cry even when you don't want them to.
Yeah, they can still cry, but you know, I wasn't the baby whisperer, but I was
pretty
good
baby.
With babies before I had babies.
Right.
But it was really when, you know, the kid who was playing Michael.
Oh yeah.
When he started walking around, or I had to hold him.
Dylan didn't start as a baby.
No,
right?
No. And I had to hold him and do monologues to him, like 2-page monologue.
Yeah.
With a kid who's pulling your hair and looking at the lights, you know, and I always had Cheerios in my pocket.
Oh yeah. That's right.
Had Cheerios, just kind of like, hey, here's a Cheerio. Shut up while I finish my lines.
Totally.
Right. So, but there's that one of those scenes ended up on Dick Clark's blooper show.
Oh, I remember that.
Right, where I said, I'm getting a vasectomy. I'm not doing this. I'm not having kids. I'm getting a vasectomy. But, I mean, it's always fun. It's fun to do. And it is challenging as an actor, for sure.
Of course. Well, it's like you got to juggle and talk at the same time, right? Because you have to –
Oh, gosh, dude.
Well, just because, I mean, you have a baby. Certainly, you don't want to drop it. If it's crying, you can't – you got to keep it quiet.
Correct.
So you got to – so like in real life, if you're trying to tell this baby something, you're gonna wait. Like
no one's doing a monologue to a baby.
No. You're dealing with what the baby needs, and then maybe when the baby's sleeping, you can like
Oh baby. We lost a shipment today of coffee. It was really tragic and Sonny had another breakdown. And, you know, Carly's going a little off the rockers, baby. I mean, what is this?
Baby don't care.
My psychiatrist. No, but it's cool, man. It is challenging though, because sometimes you have the pacifier, you got the Cheerios, you got to see, you keep it going while it's working. You know, you got the milk, you're feeding the baby, whatever. But you know, it's so much better because I've done a lot of them to dolls too, which is just lame.
Oh gosh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But they never know that it's
little rubber baby.
Yeah, the rubber baby bubby bubba.
Rubber baby bubby bubber.
Yeah, so.
Creepy.
But I guess it did help me a little bit when I had a kid, you know, holding the baby right. And
sure.
You know, and I noticed you and I, because now that we both have kids, sometimes we're on stage and we're going like this.
I know we're you're right. Like when I stand still, I certainly sway.
We can't. Isn't it crazy?
It's nuts.
Just ingrained the constant swaying is. You're just like,
yeah.
I'm like, dude, we don't have babies anymore. We're holding. What are we doing?
Yeah. I had my first daughter was born in 2011. So I don't think Georgie was born yet. Maybe right around the same.
Did you have a lot of stuff with the baby?
Georgie, not a whole lot that I remember. We didn't have like baby, you know, hijinks scenes.
Sure,
I don't believe.
Sure.
Because remember Georgie was born as Dominic and Lulu thought it was their kid. Dante and Lulu thought it was their kid. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, okay, fine.
No, I don't.
Maxie was supposed to be their surrogate.
Oh, yeah, no.
Maxie was supposed to be their surrogate. So when the baby was born, she gave it to Dante and Lulu. And then Ellie told me.
Oh, and then you went and got the baby?
And then I went and got the baby. And so, you know, I think Dante and Lulu had all like the, hey, bringing the baby home from the hospital. I didn't get that. Oh, God.
Oh, God,
I didn't have that.
And the best is, though, actually, when the baby's like in one of those little whatever cribs or bassinets,
yeah,
because they can just shoot the baby and then they'll take the baby out.
Yeah.
And then they'll put the doll in and then they'll do your angle.
Totally.
And you're doing all the stuff to a doll, which is whatever. It's fine.
But I got to say, when my first daughter was born, I was working a lot and I was. And it was when Port Chuck first started. So I wasn't around a lot for my first daughter's like infancy. And so I credit my wife with doing yeoman's work because she was not a good sleeper. She was a very unhappy baby because she had an allergy. So having a baby while you're working on a television show, I don't think I'd recommend it.
especially for a woman, man, she's got to be a mom and work.
Yeah.
And do everything and still have a full-time job. And I know a lot of ladies do out there, of course, but that's even harder for the guys. It's, you know, it's more for me. It was more like McKenna. I was there. I did as much as I could.
Sure.
You know, Jack, I was like, hey, honey, listen, I need a little bit of sleep. So because we were working late, I mean, we were working long hours, 40, 50 pages a day.
Yeah.
You know, and she was kind enough where I could go off into the guest room and get some night sleeps when I needed it.
Sure.
So, and then with Brooklyn, no one sleeps at all.
Yeah. Still doesn't, right?
Because she's actually doing better, but she's, you know,
it's,
you just kind of get used to it, you know? I mean, parents get used to kind of not sleeping.
Well, and also, you know, parents that have regular jobs that get we were lucky that my wife didn't have to work at the time.
Sure, of course.
And so, you know, a lot of people need two incomes. And so you have both parents and after 2-3 months, you're back to work and then you're missing some of your kids' infancy too. So there is not, you know, it's childcare in our country is interesting. That's a whole nother topic, but it was an interesting time for me to have it one way when I was at work all the time. And then in 2014, when Finola was born, I wasn't a regular anymore. And so I had more time. And so I was around for more. And that certainly was an incredibly amazing experience. And, you know, so I'm grateful for that. And sure. Hey, becoming a parent's crazy for anybody, right?
It is. It's, definitely they should have classes for it.
Oh, wait, they do. Did you skip those?
Yeah.
They have a birthing class, right?
So it's that's not helping anybody.
That's what I mean. Okay, great. So you go to the hospital, like, okay, we know everything.
That's all out the window.
But who knows? Great. Maybe you learned how to birth it. Great. You got it. Now what?
Yeah. They don't say, hey, go get your car with your car seat. Here's your baby.
So it's
good luck.
Yeah, the birthing classes are good, but they're for like one day.
Yeah, good luck.
How about the rest of your life?
Well, what do we do with it when we get home?
Right. you gotta read 30 books for that. You can take a weekly class 3 times for birth, but you gotta read 30 books for the other one.
Yeah, but isn't it crazy though? They don't tell you anything about taking the baby home.
I know.
How about you just tell us what to do?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's what parents and grandparents are for. But
yeah, I suppose. Yeah,
I guess
so. But anyway, thank you for the question, Lindsay. Hopefully,
yes, Lindsay. Thank you.
Thankfully, our kids are awesome, and we didn't screw them up yet.
That's right.
So, thank you, Caitlin. So thank you, everybody.
We're gonna be on the road, Brad.
Yeah, dude, we are.
May, July, and now we're looking at September, October, November, a weekend in each of those months, and December. So hopefully we'll get near everybody who's been asking.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. These tours have been amazing.
We're having such a blast.
And people are like, what do you mean you do comedy and music? And yeah, it's all about, you know, it's a comedy show about General Hospital stories, laughs, fun. We just have so much fun, dude. And the audience, it's so funny because I think people show up going like, what is this?
Right.
Like, what is it?
Right.
And they're like, oh, wow, that was fun.
when we did the band stuff, people were like, how's this gonna work? And right. then I think when you know I think they expect maybe it to be a lot more low-key when it's just the two of us.
Yeah,
but they don't know. And so we try to throw you for a loop immediately when you, as soon as the show starts, you're like, what is this, what's going on, oh my god. So
yeah, I know, it's pretty cool. It's fun, man. We're having a blast. But May is there's a few places are pretty close to sell out. So
yeah,
check out StoneColdAndTheJackal.com. I know that's coming right around the corner. That's going to be Pittsburgh,
Niagara,
Philadelphia is like literally almost sold out. So don't wait. Boston is Boston and Roar Comedy Club in Springfield,
Mass. Yeah,
yeah, that's like tickets away from being sold out. Like literally. Yep. Two tickets, I think.
And then we got a handful left at Rockwell's and Pelham in Westchester County.
Yeah, just a handful. Yeah, so it's going great. We thank you guys for that. Check out July because we got a whole nother week on the road.
Richmond and Greensboro.
New places.
Huntsville, Dallas, Houston, Phoenix.
Memphis, private dinner in Memphis. Yeah.
So we're hitting a whole new swath of places.
Yes.
I was looking to say swath this whole time.
Yeah, that's a great word, swath. Don't ever use it again.
StoneColdAndTheJackal.com for tickets and info on that.
Yep.
Thank you guys as always.
Thanks, we'll talk
to you next week.
Hey, if you like our show, you're going to love Creating Confidence with Heather Monahan on Podcast One.
Each week, the best-selling author and entrepreneur sits down to help you create your confidence, pursue your dreams, and leapfrog the villains you meet along the way.
Download new episodes of Creating Confidence with Heather Monahan every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
60 seconds. That's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in about a minute? You can get an offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, or just listen to my voice, you can get a TrueCar cash offer.
Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or home. Just go to TrueCar and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local True Car certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out with you together. You can ask questions, get the answers you need, so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride.
So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today.